This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast. You're hearing from Cole March and Triangle Pest Control's Donnie Shelton and PCO Bookkeepers, PCO M&A Specialist, and TurfBook's Dan Gordon, as well as some of the biggest players in the pest control and lawn care industries. We're talking about what is changing in the industry and taking you straight to the front lines of what the future holds. If you're ready to grow your pest control or lawn care business, you're in the right place.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to another edition of the PMP Industry Insiders Podcast. I am your host, Donnie Shelton, with my partner in crime, Mr. Dan Gordon of PCO Bookkeepers. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, everyone.
And today I am super excited. I mean, you know, one of the purposes of this podcast is like we like to look at kind of an insider's look at changes that are happening both in the pest and lawn industries. And of course, our goal here is to take you front and center with the folks that are driving that change. And today I cannot tell you how excited I am about our topic. It's on AI and how AI is being used in the pest and lawn industry.
AI?
Yeah. You know, if I had something witty, it's artificial intelligence. I was going to have something, but I couldn't come up with something quick and witty. So, but it is artificial intelligence. And so, we have some special guests today. We have Mr. Kendall Hahn, CEO of LawnBot, with Mr. Eric Allenberg. Is that how you say your name there, Eric? He's the CTO of LawnBot. Did I butcher that?
No, you're good. Allenberg.
Okay. All right. And Kendall, do you want to just talk a little bit about how you got in? Like, well, first of all, let's talk about LawnBot, just a brief overview of what it is, how you got into it, and then, you know, how you got Eric there along with you. So with that, Kendall, tell me.
Yeah, so it's a great story, as most startup stories are. I initially built the first version of LawnBot myself using off-the-shelf tools, basically connecting Zapier and Google Sheets and all these kind of off-the-shelf parts to prove out the thesis. And, it was enough traction and enough interest to where, wow, I think there could really, this could be its own business and of itself. It's not just lawn care that needs this either. It's all every service vertical. So I actually ran a lawn care franchise myself. Can't say which one, but a very known one with a green thumb. And
which one is that?
So I didn't know much about those provisions of the agreement until afterwards. So anyway, we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, I realized that, this could be its own business. And I'm not the only company that deals with this, because my buddies who own lawn care companies are also asking to use this technology in their business. So we enter a startup pitch competition. By we, I mean just myself. It's a startup pitch competition here in Grand Rapids called Start Garden, and they have this 100 ideas competition. And I was one of 10 companies out of the 100 that won $20,000 to continue developing this company and this idea. About the same time, I realized I either need to go find a dev shop to scale what I've built, or make a scalable version of what I built, or I got to go find a technical co-founder. And just so happens, we got connected through a mutual friend, Joe, with 86 Repairs, another startup in town here, said, hey, I got my buddy Eric. It might be worth a coffee to check it out. So me and Eric actually got coffee that day. I was like, listen, I've got 25 contracts stacked up. This isn't like a startup idea. Like, we're making money, and I just need somebody to build the product. Luckily, he ended up being the best programmer in Grand Rapids, probably all of West Michigan. And he.
Wow.
Ooh, ain't a lot, because like I have this thing of like, we basically come up with the idea, we sell the idea, and then we go build it. So I don't know if that's always the way everybody else does it.
I think every startup does some rendition of that. So don't, yeah.
You mean make the sales, get everything in line, and then bring the technology after.
Yeah.
We want to know that the market's validated. We want to know people are going to buy what we're building. And it just so happened that Eric was looking for his next opportunity. So He's been in the startup world a long time. I'll let him talk about that a little bit. But now we have 5 employees. So it's me, Eric. Lori's our production manager. And now we have 2 account executives that are dialing for dollars. But maybe you want to talk about a little bit how bad my MVP was. And
Yeah. You gotta give him credit. Like, you know, he's not a programmer at all. And he cobbled together a working, functioning, valuable product, which is amazing. Like, it's hard to come across entrepreneurs who can do that. So, but yeah, it was good, but it wasn't scalable. So kind of to jump off of what Kendall was saying, you know, my background is in startups. I did my first startup in 2009, ended up in New York City, doing like VC backed startups, moved back to Grand Rapids. And, you know, just been doing it ever since. So it's kind of a really cool niche to be in, is to be able to take an idea and take it from not obscurity, but someplace where it's maybe not scalable, to, you know, getting into where big companies can actually use this. So it's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun so far.
So, yeah. So Kendall and Eric, so, you know, you hear an awful lot about AI, artificial intelligence in general. And, you know, I don't know that there is some working definition that everyone agrees on. But, you know, I want to take a moment just for our listeners real quick. Let's talk about what AI is and how AI works. And so do you guys want to just, I mean, a very brief version. I realize we could probably spend, you know, an hour just answering those 2 questions. But just very briefly, kind of what is artificial intelligence and how does it work? And we'll get into more about how to leverage it for your business a little bit later on, but maybe just a brief overview of that.
Yeah, so artificial intelligence is not Skynet. Everybody watches the Terminator movies and thinks that, you know, we're going to build this computer to take over the world. And it may in the future, maybe in my children's future. But right now, what AI is simply it's people who take a business problem, translate that into a mathematical problem, and ask a computer to figure out the best possible course to solve that problem. There's a very famous computer science experiment called the traveling salesman, where they try to pick out locations where they want a salesman to go, and then try to figure out the best path to get there with the lowest amount of cost for airfare and such like that. So again, it's taking that business problem, which I think a lot of your viewers are probably looking to how they solve problems in their own business, but using a computer to figure out the best path for them.
You know, one of the things that I think a lot of folks don't realize is that, you know, a lot of the applications, a lot of the software that you use, someone had to actually go in and think through every single possible use case that someone may use that software. And I think this is one of the things that makes software development so expensive and so long, is that since you have to think through all of those cases, then you have to program every single case, you have to test every case. And AI is a little different, right? Because in the case of artificial intelligence, you don't necessarily write, you don't write, you know, hey, if A, then B. It's more of like, this is how you approach. And then from there, then you go to solve, which is a very different construct, right, than your traditional programming. So with that,
so the AI basically learns what you're trying to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. So you give it a bunch of inputs, and inputs could be like, you know, how tall somebody is, how fast are they, and then you try to predict if they're going to win the race. And we'll take all those attributes, and it'll just start to crunch numbers, and then it looks at the results and says, hey, were we good or bad? Did we win or we did not? And then you take that input and you throw it back into the AI. So you hear this concept of deep learning. AI is where that's all it really means. It's like a computer makes a prediction, they check to see if it's right or wrong, and then they input that prediction against the real results. Will go back into the AI and it gets smarter. It learns from itself.
So let's kind of continue on with the vernacular here. What is the difference? I mean, you hear terms like, okay, artificial intelligence, deep learning versus machine learning. Is there a difference between those two? And if it is, then what is the difference?
And that's exactly what I just described. So machine learning is actually just taking those inputs and creating an algorithm, like an equation. You know, everybody knows that, or maybe not everybody knows, but a line is y equals mx plus b. You know, things that we learned in grade school that depicts what the outcome could be.
So or you should have learned in grade school, at least we'll say.
Some of that.
That's what it's doing. It's just breaking down those inputs and trying to create a mathematical equation. That's what machine learning is.
But deep learning, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, deep learning is the reinforcement, the learning from the outcome. How far off were we from what we predicted to what the actual results were? And then reinforcing that loop back into the machine to keep on learning from itself.
So would you describe like a QuickBooks auto recall, right? So I go in, I put in the vendor, and it recalls the last transaction from them and how it codes. Would that be AI?
I don't know the specific context, but I don't think so. So again, you're going to take a bunch of inputs.
Yeah.
And let's say that you predicted that this client would make $200 profit for you, and it only makes $180 profit for you. That 20% or that $20 difference would go back to the AI and say, hey, you messed up by $20. And then the AI will try to adjust its algorithms and the inputs and weighting, all that stuff, to try to make it closer to that 200.
And what's so crazy about all of that is that it's actually the program that's doing that to itself. So, I mean, just the amount of time it takes for it to learn versus someone, you know, dissecting what happened, having to write the algorithm, having to go back in and test the software. Like, it's all happening real time, which is just, I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. It really is. And, you know, one of the things that I think most people don't realize is that you use AI every single day. If you use Google, right? The Google search algorithm is an example of AI. You know, the Google image recognition software is an example of AI.
So Alexa,
I can tell you right now, I was going to say my kids, believe me, Alexa and my kids are like the best friends, right? I mean, they are learning. They know kind of what my kids like. And so with them, talk about some milestones and like how this is, obviously this is a newer technology. It's a different approach. You know, when you look at what have been some key milestones that you guys have seen in terms of like how AI is now becoming more mainstream and it's being leveraged more and more with technology, and why is that important? Does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, you know, what are the milestones and why is this important?
And where is it? And I can speak to this as a non-technical founder. Maybe it'd be more relatable as, you know, I'm scrolling through Twitter and there's a big project that was just released called GPT-3. OpenAI is the people that are in charge of democratizing AI, because it's really scary, right? If somebody gets all this power, you could use an AI technology to basically imitate Donnie Shelton. I can make something that would sound like Donnie Shelton. It would talk like you. If it had enough inputs, right? We would need all of your blog.
It won't take an awful lot, trust me.
I don't know that you'd get the price for it. Who would be willing to pay for something?
It'd be priceless, right? It'd be tough to put a price on. But if I had enough inputs, I could create a digital Donnie Shelton. And there's actually people that use this GPT-3, and it's very interesting. So if you go and Google GPT-3, it's like probably one of the hottest things in tech right now, on Twitter at least. And somebody built a demo mock-up where you can learn from anybody in the world. So you say, you type in who you want to learn from, and it'd be Elon Musk. And then you would ask Elon Musk a question, and it would scrape the entire internet and use the entire internet as its brain to write an essay, an answer to your question. And some of these demos were pretty crazy, because you like could type in Einstein, it would go scrape all of Einstein's writings, like literally everything. It uses the whole internet as its brain, and it's just amazing. So I think from an outsider's technical perspective, I think we're at the early innings of this. Even in our product, you know, the humans behind it are still programming the AI and the machine learning. So the way that we use it is we have a measuring tool where the client can just simply color in the lawn with their finger or a cursor if they're on desktop. That's how we're getting the square footage of the home or the driveway or the lawn. And there's user error involved in that. But we realized really quickly, some people would draw a big circle. Some people would draw a blob, we call it. Like an accurate measurement would be a blob. So we're actually using AI and machine learning to detect incorrect measurements and detect whether it's a circle or a blob. That's just a really easy way to explain it. But I think that's the initial use case, but then we also have some things down the road that we want to use AI for to make a better product. I think AI.
So how exactly does your product work? So, what I'm a lawn care company, and I, you know, take a phone call, and how would I use your?
Yeah. So, at a really high level, right now, there's two ways people are going to contact your business, right? Phone, or they're going to hit your website and submit for a lead online. LawnBot is your digital salesperson. We connect it to your inbound website leads, to your home advisor leads, to your Facebook leads, to your Instagram leads. And LawnBot's essentially an interactive chatbot platform that will measure your lawn. You tell LawnBot, hey, what your lawn looks like right now, what you want your lawn to look like, what services you're interested in having, and they are presented with a beautiful, modern, interactive proposal where they can sign up and pay for the product. So what we realized is a lot of companies, especially in the lawn care space.
Hang on, let's slow down right there real quick though. And this is all without human intervention, right? So this is like someone goes on, they say, hey, look, yep, there's a picture of my lawn. They should I say blob? Is that even, they blob it in, right? They blob it in.
Color it in with their finger, the areas they want treated. So they might just color in the front and the sides. They might color in the backyard. And it returns an accurate square footage of the area they colored in. Now, from there, obviously, we program their bot, their lawn bot, to have the company's price tables, the programs that they want to offer. The bot is even smart, where we built conditional logic in to where if the client clicks on thin lawn, and I'll just use like Blades of Green for an example. Blades of Green has a package that, you know, that they typically recommend for people with a thin lawn. Well, LawnBot would go ahead and recommend this program versus that program based on the user's feedback. So what we've essentially done to really simplify it is we've digitized the human inbound lead sales process for companies so that, hey, if the office is closed or it's the weekend, you can still sign up customers. And when I say sign up, collect their credit card info as well and make sure that they're a customer.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, it really is.
Going to shoot them a proposal. It's going to give them a time. It's going to take their credit card. And when you come in Monday morning, you're all set to go.
It's going to sign them up from start to finish. So what's really interesting is, year to date, I mean, we've been in business for 6 months and we already have 120 companies on the platform. And it's really exciting to see the need in the marketplace for this product, because owners understand I'm already paying people salary, workers' comp, health insurance. I'm paying them a sales commission. And in our space, a lot of people are like need-based, meaning they see weeds and they call, right? They're going to call, they're going to sign up with the first person that picks up the phone, typically, if it's a good salesperson. Same thing for pest, I would imagine, is you have bugs in your house, you want them gone. How much is it? It's $150 to start and then $50 a month reoccurring. Yeah, dude, sign me up. Throw it on the Amex. Come fix my problem. I think that people are used to buying that way.
I was going to say, so I think this is really interesting. Do you guys think there's a case, or there ever will be a case, where AI could actually replace? I mean, because in this case, you are replacing the salesperson in some regard. I'm sure there's probably some sort of audit in the end, maybe where someone goes in and looks and confirms everything. And I would imagine that, you know, there's still someone who has to, you know, has to still figure out the routing and, you know, how does this sale fit in there and what time do we tell the customer? I don't know what the back end of that looks like. I know when you're on a typical sale, when someone calls in, there's the selling of the service and then there's scheduling and kind of fitting it in and those types of things. But do you think there's ever a case where AI could completely replace a salesperson? Because I will tell you, in our industry, and I'm sure you guys are very aware of this, payroll is by far the most expensive.
We need some AI lights. That's
item on my P&L. Not electricity, payroll. So keep the lights on.
Yeah, electricity, yeah. And for those who are not watching, the lights at LawnBot just went out, but they did some movement and did some little Tai Chi and got them back on. So I think we're good there. So, I mean, you know, that's a great question, right? Do you think there's ever a time when AI could completely replace a salesperson and take them all the way through, not only the sales process, but also, you know, the scheduling and you know, routing and just all the components that a salesperson would typically do?
Yeah, so I mean, I think what's really interesting about chatbots in general is a lot of people think that it needs to be an open-ended process. But what we realized about the sales process is it's very much, much so a fixed process typically. You know, for a lawn care salesperson, you're answering, you're asking the same things over and over. Well, who's been doing the lawn? Who's been doing the lawn? Have you been hiring somebody else or doing it yourself? If you're pest control, maybe you're asking, hey, what's bugging you out there, Mrs. Jones? Oh, it's hornets. Well, for hornets, we do this, this, and this, and it's going to be this price. So there's not too many paths to go down. Typically, it's making sure that, you know, that it's in a format that will fit the company's, what we've realized, fit the, how the company sells their service. So in lawn care, there's 8 different ways you can sell and set up payments and stuff for companies. And most platforms like Shopify and stuff aren't really set up to do that. So that's kind of what we built, is the ability to actually program in their price tables and the way that they sell subscriptions and prepays. And, you know, the first service is a different amount than the actual subscription amount, and all these different ways that companies sell. But I think eventually, I think as people get more and more used to buying this way, you know, you think about Grubhub, Uber Eats, this contactless economy that we have. I think certainly the percentage is going to grow and grow and grow of people that choose to buy this way instead of talking to a human on the phone. What really prompted this idea was it pissed me off that I had to pay sales commissions to people who were going to sign up anyway. And I'm having sales reps be order takers. Sales reps should not be order takers. They should be calling canceled customers, people that used our service in the past, or reactivating people. Those are real salespeople. Those killers should not be order taking. They should be.
So quick question on that. So do you have any data on closing percentages of the product versus a CSR? I mean, you know, I guess what we're looking at is mostly new leads, but are any of your clients yet tracking what kind of closing percentage that they're getting?
Yeah, so we track that internally here. And It varies between the, and this is interesting, it's one of my key takeaways for today, but it varies between the online reputation of the company. If the company has 2 Google reviews, their close rate is going to be way lower, what we realized, than somebody who has 150 Google reviews. So that social proof is really helpful. So what we're seeing is it's anywhere between 10 and 15% of their total new sales on the year are closed. When I say closed, I mean they gave us their credit card number, they signed up through LawnBot. So that's not a huge percentage when you benchmark it against a human, but also a human never had to touch that. And if they didn't sign up through LawnBot, you can have your killer salespeople call them anyway.
But you paid a lot of money for that lead, so you want to make sure that you are maximizing
it. Yeah. So if I had to
summarize this, and I think it's genius. I think it's a great idea. Is that
absolutely?
I take my inbound sales side, you know, whatever that would be, whether it be, you know, my pay-per-click campaigns, my website, like you said, it's not Service Magic anymore. Oh man, I just dated myself.
Home Advisor.
Right. I take all of these channels and I pull them into kind of this chatbot, right? This AI. Okay, that has my inbound sales. They are order takers. There's no need in taxing my sales team for that. And now I'm going to focus my sales team on strictly outbound and creating leads, not necessarily just order taking, which I think is that a good summary of kind of how of kind of the vision of the product and kind of what
I would say that's a great value prop that we offer is optimizing your sales channels. I mean, instead of having your salespeople be focused on order taking, because that does take time, right, to sit there on the phone with them and maybe it's 10 minutes a call times how many calls a year.
Trust me, I want my salespeople, like, you know, making sales. I don't want them just order taking. I mean, again, we have computers for that. So I couldn't agree with that more.
I think that's a great way to describe the value prop.
Great, great, good, good, good. So now for someone like Dan, and I'm going to pick on Dan a little bit here.
Somebody who's totally tech savvy and gets this whole thing. That's where you're going with this.
This is exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you see Okay, so we've talked about this whole idea of replacing or possibly replacing an inbound sales person, or at least replacing a function of an inbound person's job. Do you ever see a case where, say, I could use AI to do common functions that a CSR maybe would do? Would it be like scheduling, routing, callbacks, those types of things? Is there any technology on the horizon that can assist with that? Because I know for me, like you said, someone calls in, it's a current customer. Okay, they're going to want to update a credit card. They've got a callback I need to take care of. They need to change it. I mean, it's typically maybe 5 or 6 specific things. They never call to cancel. I'm joking. No, but you know, like my question is like, is there anything on the horizon that could also assist in that? Because to me, that's strictly, you know, in the case of a salesperson, every time I pay that person, they're bringing revenue in. In the case of a CSR, right? If I cut a CSR, that every dollar drops to the bottom line. And so my question is like, is anything on the horizon for that you guys are aware of, or is that possible?
I've used it. I think that's what GPT-3 is. Right now it's a closed API. So they're not making that API available to people like us. Cause if they did, we'd be all over that. Like, you know, like yesterday, mm-hmm. So me and my wife got married. We both had Prime memberships before and they charged my card, and I was able to cancel my Prime subscription all without talking to anybody. But I did it over the phone, and it was an AI voice assistant over the phone. Would you like a refund to your Amex ending in this number? Yes, I would. Okay, that's being processed for you, Mr. Hines. Like, I think that once, and we usually see this top down, right? Because Amazon has more money than anybody else to do this stuff. But when that gets, democratized out to the rest of the world, and it gets to people like us who can use it in little projects and stuff. I think that's coming sooner than we think.
Actually, some of that already exists, right? So if there's some HR bots out there that use AI that will like let you schedule vacations. A lot of the big corporations have these now. It's like, okay, you know, you log into a chat bot, says, what can I help you with, Eric? Looking to take a vacation. It'll key in, it'll use natural language processing to figure out what the intent is that you're asking. And they connect to the various data points that they have internally in their system, which might be a vacation scheduling or a software that manages that. And then through the AI, you can go ahead and do exactly that. So there are definitely technologies. I mean, we haven't personally tackled them because we're tackling the sales process right now.
Right.
But
for sure,
it's all about, you know, again, taking that business problem, figuring out how to make a computer figure out what you're talking about and then solve that problem.
How about looking at your existing base and mining it? So we've got all these customers who have, you know, the 6-round program, but only 20% of them have grubs. So can you go and pull it out and then, shoot off an email and create, like a lot of the CRMs do, do the probability of, closure rates and things like that. I mean, I see this thing. It's got a huge amount of potential. In addition, could you train salespeople to sell? Okay, you're not allowed to touch the leads that come in AI, but we have a sales training school. By the way, this is $1 million idea, and I'll that's where I'm thinking that you go with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it all but depends on that data. So, I mean, you can purchase phone lists, you can purchase emails lists, you can purchase the data, like any kind of marketing data to append upon that list. And you can run that against the same data that's inside of your databases, your current customer list, and say, which ones do these look alike? And an AI can definitely do that. They can say, okay, I know that these folks are interested in Grub. They have the same sort of, structure or attributes attached to them from our marketing data. And these are the highest probability that would probably buy these programs. Now, I think we'll get there in Lawnbot is, as we go ahead and look at this incoming data that we can get through advertising or through current lists that we target, we'll be able to offer up more defined programs that would fit their needs so they could actually just pop up and go, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for, and hit that check up on even easier.
But yeah, to your point, Dan, I kind of know what you're getting at with the So what you're talking about is pulling reports, then running campaigns based on those reports.
Right.
That would be so cool if it was all automated, right?
Yeah.
Like I didn't have to think about launching a campaign. Maybe not good for Colmarch, right? I'm just kidding. But
it's even better. What are you talking about?
Cold March, how many employees you got, Donnie? Counting me?
we'll take them all.
It'd be so cool if that was on autopilot. As a busy business owner, I didn't have to think about running a Grub campaign. I could hire somebody to set up these AI automations to where every year, and maybe that date fluctuates based on when you're at the service year. But, you know, typically what that process looks like, and this is why people hire us sometimes to go in and do review campaigns for them, is it's a very involved process to go into the database, scrub it for people who already left you a review, launch that review campaign, and then also continue to do it on an ongoing basis. It's another job that, you know, business owners would rather pay for than to have them do themselves. So yeah, I totally think that could be in the future too. I also have a prediction right here, right now on this show. Think about telemarketers, okay? Are people dialing for dollars? What if an AI bot was dialing for dollars? And there'd be some legality stuff around this, but the person on the other end of the phone didn't know it was a bot. Like, it sounds like a human. And Google's already experimenting with this technology where you ask your Google assistant to book you a haircut, and its AI bot will call that salon and it will sound, hey, this is Karen. I'm calling on behalf of John. Can I book a haircut? And there's awesome videos on this on YouTube about it, but it's just like mind blowing to think, like, what if you could have AI bots doing lead gen? Like, you load a list of 50,000 records and it will call through, and based on general telemarketing, close rate numbers, say it gets a 3% response rate. Well, that 3% that responded, now I can give it off to a human and have them take it from there. But I just think sky's the limit with this stuff. And I'm like a big like dreamer and stuff, like head in the clouds. So this stuff's really exciting for me to talk about because sky's the limit. And Eric tells me that anything's possible with technology. So,
What would the difference between that and a robocall be? Like, so that you just load up in a dialer?
Dan, you wouldn't know it's a robot. It literally sounds like a human.
Gotcha.
And it could read your intent saying, who is this? This is Kendall with LawnBot. And it would sound like a real person. It would basically be a real person. And there's scripts out there. One of them is called Descript. It's a newer product out there. You load like 50 minutes of your own voice into it, and it creates a digital AI voice for your human. So I can literally, or think about automating blog content. You could ask an AI to like write me a blog article, and it'll be totally new. It won't be like plagiarism or anything. Write me a blog article on online sales, and it will write you two or three paragraphs on selling things online. So it's really exciting times, and we're gonna have to worry about our kids like using AI to write their essays and stuff for school. I think those are the new kinds of problems we'll have.
Yeah, for sure. So another question I have is, so this is obviously very cutting edge. It's very new, but the application for it, I mean, my mind is blown when I think about, my gosh, I could have an AI driven CSR, which, by the way, we know is possible, right? You look at IBM's Watson, who just pummeled everyone at the game show Jeopardy, right? I mean, so it's not like this is too far off. I think it's more just a function of there's not enough people in the industry to fully develop it yet, right? And so all it's going to take is now it'd be like a pest bot, and there would be maybe a CSR bot, right? But so what kind of timeline do you think before we really start seeing some of this technology being into the pest control industry and some of this technology into the lawn? Obviously, you guys have started, I mean, to my knowledge, you guys are the only ones that I'm aware of that is using and leveraging this technology for the sales cycle in our industry. How long do you think, and obviously I know this is a crystal ball, but how long before we start seeing this in other areas of our industry?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like, with being a startup, what's nice about being a startup is we're really nimble, so we can try new ideas really quickly and implement them into the marketplace. And we're kind of like hackers. Like, I'm kind of a hacker in the fact that I hack together this MVP. So we're like, when GPT-3 gets released public, we're going to start playing with it. So I think the more kind of people like us that come into the industry that, I don't believe, I would rather buy online. I don't want to buy me as a buyer, the way I shop and everything, I would rather buy online. And I think the more people that, you know, are delighted with buying online, I think it's just going to be, it's going to be normal 10 years from now, but I think it's going to, it's going to slowly.
I think COVID has really created an opportunity, you know, for online selling in general. I mean, I think about now, I mean, you know, before I would, you know, if I want to go to an air, whatever, like it has driven everyone to go online now and to buy online. And I mean, I'm not going to go through all the numbers. When Dan and I were doing the COVID webinars series, you know, I was all into the statistics of online buying and what folks were doing. And I mean, it went up by almost a measure of 2 times of how many folks were buying online now. So I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think I would assume that it created an opportunity for Lawnbot as well, right? Because now the consumer, you know, everything takes a little bit of time, but you know, I can see in 2 and 3 years where, you know, the vast majority of your sales could be ordered online, right?
I think one of the things that both Pest and Lawn, you know, the trend is towards inside sales, right? But they still have to have an outside inspector when the customer wants to go over something. So could the customer just snap a shot of their situation, shoot it back, and then you'll never have to have an on the road guy? That would be
Teledoc, right? I mean, Teledoc for the Pest and Lawn would be super interesting. Something we've thought about. I mean, it's like, again, it's like if you're really careful with like how far we think into the future, but and what we actually choose to build versus like partner on. But I think there's a huge opportunity in every way to use technology, Pest, Lawn, completely, totally.
So from your perspective though, so you're kind of partnering, I saw that you're partnering with Real Green, and then there's other routing softwares and whatnot. What keeps what you have proprietary? What gets it so that you guys can scale this business and the bigger guys just don't steal your technology?
Yeah. I just laughed a little bit because we have an inside joke here called checkboxes, right? So every time we run into an issue with a company where they're like, I want to sell it like this, that means new checkboxes getting added to the back end builder so that when we go scale this out. So there's just in the service industry, I don't know what it is. And this is probably why Shopify hasn't worked so far for our industry, is there's just almost so many conditional statements. But beyond that is, I think the IP that we're creating around measuring and estimating, we're actually patent pending with Measure It. So the ability to color in an area using a canvas and then applying it against a price table is what we're working on patenting. So that's kind of our moat from a question we asked by VCs and stuff, but also the strategic partnerships with CRM companies. So in this industry, you mentioned Real Green, Pest Routes, Pest Pack, Service Autopilot, Service Monster, all these companies. That's the next phase to this. What happens after it's sold, or what happens after the AI, the bot quoted it? It needs to go somewhere automatically. And the reason why these CRM companies want to partner instead of compete is because we wake up every day and we focus on Lawnbot. We focus on PestBot. We focus on ServiceBot. They would either need an immense amount of resources and a lot of obsession to kind of catch up with all the learning that we've done. But I mean, I guess they could. It would help us out because I know that we have the best product. And usually, from what I've seen in technology, is the best product always wins. The most known product wins too. But hopefully, it should make an interesting exit at some point. But we really enjoy working on this. I mean, it's a really big problem, and we're helping a lot.
I think it's really cool what you guys are doing. I'm like super excited about it.
Yeah.
Like what does it look like in 2 and 5 years? And so with that, I have another question, and then we're going to have to round out here and finish up shortly. But you know, one of the things that I see, well, really two. Number one is our industry has traditionally, when it comes to technology. So my background is computer science. Maybe this is why I'm so interested in the topic. So before I got into the pest control industry, I was writing code, and I mean, you know, and so I kind of get the technology behind AI. I don't get AI, meaning that I could not write it, but I understand it, like the fundamentals, right? So, but our industry is traditionally way behind on the technology curve. And so it's really cool to see companies like you guys who are trying to pull us, you know, pull the industry into what is rapidly becoming mainstream when you look at all the applications that AI is in right now. How do you, you know, my question is how do you convince, you know, a lot of folks in our industry, I don't want to call them anti-technology, but it is a very slow cycle of adoption. You know what I mean? Have you guys thought about like, what's the value proposition that, you know, if I'm someone who doesn't understand technology, how do you go to them and say, look, this is going to make your business better. It's going to make you more profitable. It's going to make you a better business overall. Like, how do you pitch that to them?
It's tough. I mean, thankfully we've gotten a lot of traction in sales so far from early adopters. Early adopter companies want to dominate their competition. But yeah, in this industry, it's tough. You know, we're using traditional sales tactics to grow a tech company. And so we're on the phone in the other room, dialing for dollars, cold calling companies saying, hey, do you offer online ordering yet? Of course, they're going to say no. It's like, awesome, well, I have a great product I want to show you. And we're getting these owners on the phone. Like, I've been in the industry 40 years. We go to their website and it's shitty. They've got two good reviews. It's like, I have more.
By the way, that's the beauty of both of these industries. If you've already built it, it's done. And it just spits out money.
It's super interesting. So I think what we look for is the ambitious companies. It's so different talking to somebody who sees the value and is interested in LawnBot versus somebody who's kind of resting on their laurels and happy with what they've built. I don't think we'll ever be able to convince them. I think those companies will either end up being acquired or shut down, like really macro over 40 years. And people that want to build these kind of empire, it's just really interesting that our average customer does 750 grand in revenue or more. Like the companies that are buying LawnBot for their business, they're already big, successful companies, and they want to stay that way. So we try to spend our time talking to those people, not really convincing people that LawnBot's the, you know,
any stats on, so you've got, you know, the business owner totally gets the vision, whether they understand the technology or not. It's a sales tool and it's pretty cool. But any stats on customers, their customers who gets on the website, you know, you got to have a tech savvy customer or, you know, hey, I'm not going to deal with this. Any stats on, you know, customer adoption versus ones that push away?
Yeah, so you would think that this is like a millennial first tool, like just people, I guess, my age, 30, 40, 50 years old would use. Yeah, Dan.
Dan's a millennial. Didn't you know that?
I am.
Meaning that he's over 100, but
that's right. You look good for 80.
That's right.
What we're finding is that older folks utilize this technology too. So Grandma Karen, what we've tried to do is make the most easy, frictionless buying experience. And that's where the Measure It tool comes in with the coloring in the lawn. Typically measuring tools are points and lines. So in theory, you could even color in the square footage of a house, right? Color in your house or your roof or your driveway or linear. We can do linear foot as well. You know, draw a circle around your house for linear foot or perimeter for property. It's literally the easiest measuring tool out there right now because we started with the points and lines that everybody's familiar with, and it sucked on a mobile device. We said, this isn't going to work for Grandma Karen, who's 70 years old, 80 years old, but she wants to buy lawn care. It should be as easy for her as a 15-year-old to pick up the device. And so the UI, the UX feels very much like Uber Eats or Grubhub or something like that. And the drawing tool is by far the easiest one. But the data that we're seeing is it's everybody kind of buys this way. It's not just 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds purchasing lawn care. It's Grandma Karen, 70 years old as well.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Very
interesting. I love it.
Well, you know, so I think we're getting close to the end here. And one of the things that we like to do on the podcast is we'd like to kind of leave our listeners with a kind of a takeaway, key takeaways. And so with that, I mean, and also I want to leave it open so they know how to contact LawnBot if they are interested in investigating this technology, investigating your company, to see if it's a way they can help their company. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Kendall and Eric, and you know, talk us through the key takeaways if someone is interested in this technology, and then maybe a good way that they can contact you if they want to learn more.
Awesome. So, you know, number one takeaway, obviously, speed to lead is the holy grail of sales in today's economy. Typically, what we see is the first person to get them a price or quote them is going to make that sale typically. That's why Home Advisor, you want to be the first one to call them or get them on the phone. So speed to lead, as we know, is the holy grail of sales. And why not leverage technology to make sure that your company is the first one to that lead every time, no matter if the office is open or closed. Two is what we've realized in LawnBot. The most successful companies on LawnBot, the more Google reviews they have, the more online sales they make. People read reviews.
Amen, brother. If I had a high five right there, because as a digital side, I can tell you from an online marketer, I just emphasize this all the time. It is the upwards. I mean, social proof. You cannot overemphasize that in a service business. I mean, and the more reviews you get, the more sales you get. It's like when we look at cost.
Yeah,
cost per lead and cost per sale. The companies who may not even have as better, you know, may not have the best positioning on Google, they sell more and they sell cheaper because their online brand is so much better. You know, when you're having to overcome a bad brand, you are going to spend way more money in generating sales. So all I can say is amen, brother. High five on that one. Keep going. So yeah, I see this on the digital side every single day, what you're saying.
Totally. And we saw it indirectly when we had companies coming to us saying, hey, Kendall, why am I not getting as many leads? And we're like, this company's crushing it. This company's not. And the only difference is their online brand, like Google reviews, quality of the website, SEO tactics that they're using, things like that. And I mean, it's a strict like 1-to-1 ratio. I like salivate when we get a company that has like 500 Google reviews. I was like, they're going to crush it on LawnBot day one. They're going to get ROI back in a month for the whole year for using our product. And that kind of leads me into point three. I mean, leveraging technology to deliver the lowest cost per sale in our industry. Typically in lawn care, a cost per sale of like $100 to $150 is pretty good.
I'd say it's really good.
It's tremendous. Yeah.
And say if we could give you a $50 cost per sale, I'm sure that would help out your business, right? Well, that's what we have the power to do.
I would do anything I could to get that amount. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you pay us $4,000 or $5,000 a year, and that's all you pay us, and LawnBot's your first line of defense to close that sale, you're not paying a sales commission, you're not paying labor dollars on that sale. You know, we're talking a less than $50 cost per sale in a lot of cases. So we have the power now to use technology to leverage and deliver low cost per sales versus a human having to handle that. So even companies take this one step further and they have a different price sheet for LawnBot than they do if you call the office. So you actually get a discount if you buy through LawnBot versus talking to a rep on the phone, because if a human had to handle that, there is a cost associated with that. And typically it's higher than buying online.
There's actually a calculation to be done here that you could say as the business owner, well, I could live with so many less sales because I'm paying so much less, okay? And the return on investment is the same or better. So you can actually create that calculation and show folks that, you know, I've got this artificial intelligence that's you know, costing me $4,000 or $5,000 a year, and I've got this $75,000 a year salesperson. Well, how many sales do I have to make in order to break even between the two? And that's you know, and then you could take it a step further. Well, lawn care companies sell for a certain amount of money. I could sell my company to True Green for a certain amount of money. So every sale I make, I add value. So I add that to, how does it work? It would be a pretty interesting.
So says the CPA. CPA.
Well,
I don't know about you, Dan, but I have very much enjoyed having Kendall and Eric here with us in the podcast. Great info. Very, very forward thinking.
Awesome product.
And so the web. Yeah. Yeah, and so the website, in case anyone's wondering, is longbot.biz. Kendall, I'm assuming if they could just go to your website, they could probably get in contact with you. Probably not Eric. I'm sure Eric wouldn't want to do the sales side. But
Yeah, you can actually buy a lawn bot through our website. Go figure, right? So you can sign up online.
Hang on. Is there
I want to talk to a representative.
If I go to your website, is that who's going to sell to me?
Yeah, so you can go there, sign up online, or you can contact us for a demo if you want to keep it old school, right? So try to make it as easy as possible.
Interesting. Very interesting. Really enjoyed
it. I want to thank both of you. Yeah, I want to thank both of you for coming onto the podcast. I think this is a very, very useful topic. I think there's a ton of interest in our industry. And I think we're only scratching the surface when it comes to AI in both the pest and lawn industry. Dan, anything to add? I think I've gotten everything I needed out of this. I think it's been great.
I just think this is where the world is going, you know, and if either you embrace it or you're going to be left behind. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I could not agree more.
Doing some cool
stuff. I agree more. Well, Kendall and Eric, thank you again, guys, for joining us. And until next time, we'll see you again on PNP Industry Insiders.